December 30th, Sunday within the octave of Christmas, or the sixth day within the octave. If December 30th falls on a Saturday, it is called the sixth day within the octave, and the third Mass of Christmas Day is repeated, except for the Epistle and Gospel, which are taken from the second Mass. And in this case, the office of the Sunday in the octave is said on December 31st, with a commemoration of Saint Sylvester. But if December 30th falls on any other day of the week, the office is of the Sunday within the octave of Christmas. This is the only day within the Christmas octave which is not a saint's feast. During the octaves of the Epiphany, Easter, and Pentecost, the Church is so absorbed in the respective mysteries that she puts off everything that could share her attention. Whereas during this of Christmas, there is only one day which does not celebrate the memory of some glorious saint, and our infant Jesus is surrounded by a choir of heroes who loved and served him. Thus the Church, or more correctly God, for God is the first author of the cycle of the year, shows us how the incarnate Word, who came to save mankind, desires to give mankind confidence by this his adorable familiarity. We have already shown that the birth of our Lord took place on a Sunday, the day on which, in the beginning of the world, God created light. We shall find, later on, that his resurrection also was on a Sunday. This, the first day of creation, and the first of the week, was consecrated by the old pagans to the sun. With us Christians, it is most sacred and holy, on account of the two risings of our divine Son of Justice, his birth and his resurrection. Whilst the solemnity of Easter is always kept on a Sunday, that of Christmas falls by turns on each of the days of the week. We have already had this difference explained to us by the Holy Fathers. But the mystery of Jesus' birth is more aptly and strongly expressed when its anniversary falls on a Sunday. Other years, when the coincidence does not happen, the faithful will at least be led by their Christian instincts to give a special honor to the day within the octave which falls on the Sunday. The Church has honored it with a proper Mass and office, and we, of course, insert them. Mass. It was at midnight that the Lord delivered his people from bondage by the passage of his destroying angel over the land of the Egyptians. So also was it in the still hour of midnight that Jesus, the angel of great counsel, came down from his royal throne, bringing mercy to our earth. It is just that whilst commemorating this second passage, the Church should sing the praises of her Emmanuel, who comes, clad in his strength and beauty, to take possession of his kingdom. Introit. While all things were in quiet silence, and the night was in the midst of her course, thy almighty word, O Lord, came down from thy royal throne. The Lord hath reigned, he is clothed with beauty, the Lord is clothed with strength, and hath girded himself. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Collect, the Church prays to be directed by that divine rule which was taught us by our Savior, the Son of Justice, who shone upon us in order to enlighten and guide our steps in the path of good works. Collect. O Almighty and Eternal God, regulate our actions according to thy divine will, that in the name of thy beloved Son, we may abound in good works. Commemoration of Christmas Day. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who groan under the old captivity of sin may be freed therefrom by the new birth of thine only begotten Son. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Galatians, Chapter 4. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. So we also, when we were children, were serving under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore now he is not a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir also through God. The child that is born of Mary and is couched in the crib at Bethlehem raises his feeble voice to the Eternal Father and calls him my Father. He turns towards us and calls us my brethren. We, consequently, when we speak to his Father, may call him our Father. This is the mystery of adoption, revealed to us by the great event we are solemnizing. All things are changed, both in heaven and on earth. God has not only one son, he has many sons. Henceforth we stand before this our God, not merely creatures drawn out of nothing by his power, but children that he fondly loves. Heaven is now not only the throne of his sovereign majesty, it is become our inheritance, in which we are joint heirs with our brother Jesus, the Son of Mary, Son of Eve, Son of Adam, according to his human nature, and in the unity of person, Son of God, according to his divine nature. Let us turn our wondering and loving thoughts first to this sweet babe that has brought us all these blessings, and then to the blessings themselves, to the dear inheritance made ours by him. Let our mind be seized with astonishment at creatures having such a destiny, and then let our heart pour out its thanks for the incomprehensible gift. Gradual. Thou art beautiful above the sons of men. Grace is poured abroad in thy lips. My heart hath uttered a good word. I speak my works to the king. My tongue is the pen of a scrivener that writeth swiftly. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord hath reigned. He hath clothed himself with beauty. He hath clothed himself with strength and armed himself with might. Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel to the Holy Gospel according to Luke, Chapter 2. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were wondering at those things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted. And thine own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was far advanced in years, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow until 84 years, who departed not from the temple, by fastings and prayers, serving day and night. Now she, at the same hour, coming in, confessed to the Lord, and spoke of him to all that looked for the redemption of Israel. And after they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong, full of wisdom, and the grace of God was in him. The passage of the Gospel selected for this Mass, though bearing on the divine infancy, yet gives us, we may almost say prematurely, the terrible prophecy of Simeon regarding the dear babe of Bethlehem. The heart of Mary, that was overflowing with joy at the miraculous birth of her child, is here made to feel the sword spoken of by the venerable priest of the temple. Her son, then, is to be but a sign that shall be contradicted. The mystery of man's adoption by God is to cost this child of hers his life. We that are the redeemed in his blood, we may not yet dwell on the fatigues and the passion and the death of our Emmanuel. The time will come for that. At present, we are forbidden to think of him other than as the sweet child that is born to us, the source of all our happiness by his having come among us. Let us catch up the words of Anna, who calls him the redemption of Israel. Let our eye delight in the sight of the earth regenerated by the birth of its Savior. Let us admire and study well this Jesus newly born among us, and adore in humble love the wisdom and grace that are in him. During the offertory, the Church celebrates the wonderful renovation wrought in the world, a renovation which saved it from destruction. She sings the praises of the great God who came down into the poor stable of Bethlehem, yet left not his eternal throne. Offertory. God hath established the world, which shall not be moved. Thy throne, O God, is prepared from of old. Thou art from everlasting. Secret. Grant, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, that this sacrifice offered to thy divine majesty may obtain for us the grace of true devotion and a happy eternity. Commemoration of Christmas Day. Sanctify, O Lord, our offerings by the new birth of thine only begotten Son, and cleanse us from the stains of our sins. The words chanted by the Church at the Communion are those spoken by the angel to Saint Joseph. She has given this divine infant to her faithful children in Holy Communion, in order that they may carry him in their hearts, and bids them guard him against the snares laid for him by his and their enemies. Let the Christian, therefore, take heed, lest Jesus should be taken from him. Let him, by strict watchfulness and by good works, crush the tyrant sin that seeks the life of the divine guest of his soul. It is for this reason that in the post-communion, the Church prays that our vices may be destroyed and our desires for a virtuous life be blessed. Communion. Take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead who sought the life of the child. Post-communion. May the efficacy of this sacrament, O Lord, cleanse us from our sins and obtain for us the accomplishment of our just desires. Commemoration of Christmas Day. Grant, we beseech thee, O Almighty God, that as the Savior of the world, who was born this day, procured for us a divine birth, he may also bestow on us immortality.